We have come together into the presence of our Lord. So let us quieten our hearts and minds, put aside our concerns and distractions. Let us open ourselves to listen for God's voice, for the word God has for his people. Let us pray. Almighty God, you speak to us in so many ways. Help us in our worship today to hear your voice and know it is you. Speak to us in the silence, through scripture and by the Spirit. Speak through others and through your creation, through images, experiences, music and encounters. Speak in ways that we can understand. So, speak, Lord, and help us to listen. Amen. We're going to sing our first hymn, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before him now in reverence and fear. Let us pray. Creator God, how awesome you are. Our lives were known to you before we came into being. Marvelous, Lord, everything we do, think and say, you know about. Such infinite wonder, eternal loving Lord, ever helping us to see and be more like you. How awesome you are, glorious Lord. Everywhere we go, your hand is with us, always guiding and revealing your blessings as we praise, listen, and act. Amen. Lord, we come before you to say sorry. Sorry for all the times we've let you, ourselves and others down. Sometimes, Lord, we're so busy talking and doing that we fail to hear you. We miss the still small voice saying, stop, listen. Lord, we're sorry for being too busy to hear you. You speak in so many different ways, Lord, one being through other people. But very often we take no notice and continue in our own way. Help us to tune into your voice. Lord, as you use others to speak to us, so you use us to draw people to you. But speaking does not always require words. People see our lives, our attitudes and character. Lord, we're sorry for the times we've let you down in these areas, when we pressurise others to conform to our ideas or fail to listen and give others the space to draw closer to you. Lord, as we spend these few moments in personal reflection, we ask you to speak to us. Show us anything for which we need to say sorry and change our ways. Lord, we lift our confessions to you in your precious name. Amen. Father God, we thank you that we don't have to earn your forgiveness. It is not based on how worthy we are. We are forgiven through Jesus Christ. It is by grace that our sins are forgiven. Amen. And now let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And Sally, are you ready to introduce us to the theme?
Yes, good morning, everybody. let me just get my notes up. Sorry, they're on my phone. Right. I have some volunteers today. I need you to unmute yourselves if you are a volunteer. Everyone else can stay on mute. So I'm just going to check that my volunteers have unmuted. There's a lot of pages to look through today. Yeah, good. Fantastic. Right, I have a very simple question. Can my volunteer tell me what their favourite colour is and why?
My favourite colour is red, because it reminds me of
cheerful swimming pool and family time.
Okay. let's have one at a time. That might be a little bit easier. So sorry about that. Sue, can you say, can you repeat what you just said?
My favourite colour is red, because I like wearing red. It's cheerful and jolly.
Okay, thank you. Catherine?
My favourite colour, it's different shades of blue. It makes me think of family times by the swimming pool and the beach.
Oh, lovely. That's a nice reason. Bron, what did you say?
My favourite colour is yellow, and I like it because it's the colour of the sun, and that's what I like to see when I'm outside.
Okay, thank you. And I think Carol?
Yeah, my favourite colour is purple, partly because it includes blue as well, And the darker shades I find really warm.
Fantastic, thank you. Really tells us a lot about people, actually, asking them what their favourite colour is and why. Might have to do that on a wider scale at some point. My point is a very simple one today. Clearly, it was easier to hear what people had to say when only one of them was saying it at a time. I did actually ask them all to speak at the same time the first time around, because I knew that the noise and the hubbub would just drown, they'd all be drowning one another out. And you know this already, but I'm going to reiterate it because this is what we're thinking about today. Very often God's voice gets drowned out by other sounds. Not just little sounds from outside or from other people in your home and that kind of thing, but just the sound that's going on in your own head, the thoughts and the worries, the to-do list. And it makes it very difficult to hear from God when we're not spending some time during the day, during the week, in silence, just listening to what he has to say as well as talking to him. And today, the story is very much about people hearing from God through Jesus and then enabling other people to do the same. And I want to finish with a quotation that I found. It's from a man called William Barclay. And it ties in very well with our prayer of confession today, actually. Prayer is not a way of making use of God. Prayer is a way of offering ourselves to God in order that he should be able to make use of us. It may be that one of our great faults in prayer is that we talk too much and listen too little. When prayer is at its highest, we wait in silence for God's voice to us. We linger in his presence for his peace and his power to flow over us and around us. We lean back in his everlasting arms and feel the serenity of perfect security in him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sally. Now it's time for our readings, and Christine Thompson is going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 3, and Natasha Reed is going to read from John 1. Lovely, thank you.
So this is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, and it talks about Samuel's calling and prophetic activity. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down within the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel," and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood forth, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for thy servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone that hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I will tell him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And Eli said, what was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and none of his words fall to the ground. And let Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come with me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the town where Andrew and Peter lived. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one whom Moses wrote about in the book of the law and whom the prophets also wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael asked. Come and see, answered Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, he said about him, here is a real Israelite. There is nothing false in him. So Nathanael asked him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered, I saw you when you were under the fig tree before Philip called you. Teacher, answered Nathanael, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus said, do you believe just because I told you I saw you when you were under the fig tree? You will see much greater things than this. And he said to them, I am telling you the truth. You will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man. Amen.
Warm greetings to you. My name is Leslie Charlton and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. I hope you're knowing God with you in this really difficult and strange time. The texts that I'm reading from, preaching from on this day are 1 Samuel 3 verses 1 to 20 and then John 1 verses 43 to 51. Read the text and then come back in. What do you see and what do you hear? What or who are we listening to and who are we watching? Jesus looked at Nathanael and said, here is a real Israelite. And that scripture always puts me in mind of a family story about an event with some family friends they were attending. And he was one of those children who came out of Germany on the kinder transport. And he is a tall man with a bushy beard, and nobody looks more Scottish than he does. Indeed, nobody sounds more Scottish than he does. And as he came into the room, one of the women at the event, this gathering of these kinder, these people who've been taken out of Germany as young children, one of them said to another one, "Ah, his wife must be the kinder, but it's him." Jesus can look and see in a way that we cannot. We have on our glasses of ignorance and prejudice, but he sees beyond. He sees beyond our sin. Often in the story of the call of the disciples, they are portrayed as though the disciples had never heard about Jesus, and suddenly he calls them and they leave everything and they follow him. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they'd heard a rumour of him. Maybe they were followers of John the Baptist, as we have it in John's Gospel. Maybe Jesus had called them a number of times, and previously up to this time they had said no, and at last they say yes. Jesus calls, and some hear, and some do not. Some see, and some do not. Sometimes people need someone to help them to understand what is going on, like Samuel needed Eli. Of course, the other bit that needs to be said really quickly is to remember that Samuel had to be open and to ask for help. So clearly, Samuel was not British and middle class then. Ask for help, especially about a spiritual thing, hell would freeze over first. Much more likely is Nathaniel's cynical response. That's much more our tune. But helping someone to unpick their spiritual story, the story of our lives, is something that we could do at a safe physical distance. But it's something that would demand close emotional contact. What about being bold enough to take it as a challenge for this time? To find someone, maybe two people, that you can share deeply spiritually with and really discern what God is saying to you. Two people, form a triangle together. One of the comments I would make is that one of the ways in which Kingston Knight Reformed Church is blessed is that we have got elders who are prepared to give time to allow the Spirit to speak. Especially when they are people who know how to do things and get things done, but they are prepared to pause and to try to hear what God is saying. In life for us as individuals, for life as a church, there's no use getting to the top of the ladder only to discover that the ladder is up against the wrong wall. Anyway, Jesus has invited Andrew and Peter to go to Galilee with him. And now Jesus finds Philip. "Come with me," he says. The question is, was Philip looking for God? Looking for something? Looking for anything? In the middle of his work, perhaps? In the supermarket queue, maybe? Across the road? On the phone? The mobile God finds those who do not necessarily know that they're on a hunt for God. The story goes on with Philip finding Nathanael. God is at work through the finding of God's people. The question for us is, what does mission look like in this season? Who are we sharing God's love with Who are we sharing love with? Maybe each of us needs to look at how we are living and who our lives are pointing towards. Who or what is our life a signpost for? Jesus starts his ministry and the first thing he does is build community. He doesn't set out with a group of individual monks and nuns on their own serious spiritual path. He interrupts people getting on with their day, their work or whatever it is they're up to, and calls them into relationship with each other and with him. We need each other. We need good company. We need friends. But these people are called into the friendship of mutual service. Friends. Aristotle thought of friends as those who help us to be wise and to be virtuous. Augustine saw friendship as the way to help another to love God. Come and see. Come with me is the invitation. So into community. Not just go this way, but come with me together. It's about us together. It's a challenge of this time. Who are we hanging around with? We're divided more than ever before. We're divided physically from each other, but also because of the ways the electronic media work, we are divided in that way too. Where is our information coming from? Have you ever thought of why sane people that you love actually voted to leave the EU or actually voted to remain in the EU? Sane people, not the idiots, but the sane ones, those whose opinion you usually value. Or why do fine Christian people vote for Donald Trump? It doesn't help to dismiss them all as fools. What is it that we are not seeing? Alongside that is the question of where are we looking? Where are we getting our information from at this time? The danger is that I only read things that fit in with my views and where the computer takes me, so that I will only hear from those who think the same as I do. And where do the teachings of the scriptures fit in with this? The teachings of the church? Too easily, the narrative and the mood music is an overwhelming sound of fear. Get your Bible out, turn up the Psalms, and change the word enemy to the word coronavirus. And re-establish within your memory the power and the presence of God. This is the time to be examining who is leading us into their truth. So when they crashed into the Capitol building, as they did this week in the US, to protest about how the election had been stolen, Trump and the name of Jesus are evoked. Jesus is my saviour and Trump is my president, says one banner. And alongside that are emblems of anti-Semitism and racism. How can you hold those conflicting things together? It's only those who haven't read the scriptures, those who don't know that Jesus was a Jew, that can hold these things together. Those who are content to skim and to go with slogans, they can get away with it. But we're not going to get anywhere unless we get into the depths of our faith. Come and see together, says Jesus. To allow him to open our eyes in the journey of faith, to have the confidence that he is with us every step of the way. We will not understand it all. We will not understand all his purposes. We will not understand all his people. But maybe we need to pause and to listen to what is really being said. And maybe, just maybe, we might hear, we might discern God speaking through an unlikely person. Amen.
So let us pray. The response to each of the following prayers is, Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those making decisions, whether local, whether national, or whether international, about the economy, our safety, the environment, and so many other matters that will profoundly affect us and our future. Give to them your heart of love, peace, justice, and mercy. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for the people of America and for peace in the days, weeks, and months ahead. We pray for an end to violence. We pray for wisdom and protection for President-elect Joe Biden and all who will take office in a few days' time. We pray for those threatening to disrupt the inauguration that they may have a change of mind. And we pray for the police force and those entrusted with keeping the law and the peace. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all those working in health and social care, in hospitals, in care homes, and in the community throughout the United Kingdom and the rest of the world. We ask you to give them your strength, your courage, and your wisdom as they work to save lives. And we ask you to give them your comfort and healing as they need it. May they know your presence with them as they work. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for teachers, students, and parents as they try to continue the vital education of our children and young people. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those in shops, the police, and all trying to enable us to get the goods and services that are vital to us and to keep safe while doing so. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for businesses struggling to keep going, for businesses that have had to shut down, and for all the people affected by unemployment and uncertainty. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those bereaved during this time, and at this moment we pray particularly for Leslie and her family, and for the friends and family of Nigel Tunley. But we pray also, Lord, for all those that each one of us has in our hearts at the moment. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who are sick. We think of Anne Mackay, John Fisher, Ting and her family. But Lord, again, we pray for all those in each of our hearts who are sick at the moment. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are frightened and those struggling to maintain their mental health. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you, Lord, for those scientists who have worked tirelessly to develop vaccines. We pray that the distribution of these vaccines will be well organised and fair, and that they will soon begin to ease the rapid spread of the virus. Lord, hear our prayer. Finally, we pray for ourselves that we will be able to hear you during these difficult times and to bring your hope and comfort to those around us. Lord, hear our prayer. So now we come to the notices, and after the notices we will have communion. So if you need to provide yourself with the wherewithal for communion, please do so. I don't have any special notices, but I was struck when Leslie talked about us needing each other. So I'll just remind us that 5 days a week we have daily prayer at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Zoom. We have daily coffee mornings 6 days a week, and then after the service on a Sunday. And they are at 11 o'clock in the morning on Skype. And once a week we have a soiree on Zoom in the evening. If you have lost the details of all these ways of connecting, ask somebody, because we do need each other. We will continue at the moment to meet on Zoom at 10:30 every Sunday, in addition to these things. We can all phone one another and make contact with one another, and it does make a difference. So please continue to do that. And that's all I have in the notices. So I'll hand over to Sukin Lee for the rest of the service.
Continue our worship for offering. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come with this gift to offer the praise of our lips and the service of our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Prepare on your bread and wine. This is the Lord's table, and we invite all who love our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, whether members of this church or not, to share communion with us. After being served, please retain the bread and wine that we may eat and drink together. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friend, and they long remembered his word at the table. So to some disapproved of the company he kept, Jesus ate and drank with all kind of people and showed everyone the love of God. Where the people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed to be fed. Today, we are the guest of Jesus. He welcomes us forever we are and whatever we bring, and he will feed us at his table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share the bread and wine with him, to remember the story of his life and death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. Paul tells us what happened that night. Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread and this cup and give thanks to God. So let us pray. As we celebrate this day, we thank God for the coming of Jesus. As he follows the hard road into Jerusalem, we thank God for his strength and courage in pursuing the journey. In the light of the events of the week ahead, for the loneliness that Jesus will face despite the crowd, we thank God for his commitment and dedication. As we journey on as a church family toward the hot landing event of Good Friday, we thank God for such forgiving love. As we shout our Hosanna with the crowd, we thank you, God, for all the years of praise and worship, which has brought us thus far and will carry us on into the future. On this celebration day, we thank you, God, for Jesus. We praise you for Christ, the bread of the life and the true vine, whose body was given for us and whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us, and this your gift of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we breathe may be the communion of the blood of Christ. As we share the sufferings of Christ, so give us grace to know the power of his resurrection, that we may be made one and evermore abide in him, to your praise and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, take it. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat this bread. It is the body of life. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he gave the cup to his disciples and said, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Drink this wine. It is the cup of blessing. Amen. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Let us pray after communion. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Call us as your disciples, and we will follow you. Say, go, and we will go. Tell us what to do, and we will do it. Give us the words, and we will speak them. Master, we seek only to serve you and to know your will for us. Fill us with the confidence and the faith to obey your call and to answer your challenges, so that we may show our love for you. Because you, our Lord, were obedient to the end. Gracious God, may the love which make us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free, at last. Amen. Let us sing our final hymn. After this final hymn, our own minister Leslie Charlton benediction for us. Let us sing, Dear Lord and Father of mankind, Dear Lord and Father of mankind.
Now God bless us and guide us and strengthen us for his service, wherever that takes us. We give to you, our God, thanks and praise. For now, forever. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.